All right, I've started the recorder and starting the Kindle now. Okay, so we did NTI Titus last week. So now, Philemon. Philemon is tiny. It's one chapter. Yeah, it's one chapter. And then after Philemon, we start Hebrews. And on the website, Hebrews is actually going to be on a different page. So I really don't want to run the recording together. So we'll do one of two things. Either we'll just do Philemon, or if we feel like we want to do Hebrews, I will stop the recording and start a new one just for the purpose of posting. Yeah. All right, so NTI Philemon, it's on page 395?
Yes.
It is time for a reminder of that which you are tempted to forget. It is time to look on love and remember clearly that you look on the truth of you. Do not doubt your truth. It is within you. It is you. You feel guilty because you believe you have abused your truth. You believe you have used your truth to separate yourself and to create pain in the heart of God. There is no pain in the heart of God. There is only the illusion of pain within your mind when you look away from the truth of what you are. One thing that's really interesting, and you know, in our culture and probably in most cultures, but not all cultures, I don't think, even though we say that we know God is not a person, the truth is, most of us still have this idea of a person, God, some kind of a divine person, God, that is judging us, you know, or is rewarding us, or is punishing us, taking things away. And, you know, it doesn't exist. You know, so this God that we could have attacked, who now could have a pain in its heart and be suffering because of us bad little children, It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. What does exist is what we learned in NTI Ephesians. It's a process, which you could also call a spiritual law. You could say God is a process. You could say that you are a process. In fact, yesterday's Awakening Together daily quote was from Rabbi David Cooper. And Rabbi David Cooper doesn't use the word God in his book. He calls it Godding. He says God is a verb. God is not a noun. We talk about God like it's a noun, but it's not a noun. It's a verb. And what's happening is Godding. Godding is happening. And then he goes on to say, you know, whatever you are, you aren't some finished product person either. You're also in process all the time. So you're Francining and you're waning and you're Priscilla. That's hard to say. Priscilla. That's very difficult to say. But yeah, he says, you know, all there is this process. And lately the word that's been coming to me is that everything is a happeningness. There's just happeningness happening all of the time. And you could say that happeningness is equivalent to God. So you see, there's no person there. You know, because we have ideas that there's a person, some type of a person, not a flesh and blood person, but some type of a person, we think that God has a will, God's will. And we think we can go against God's will, and that makes us guilty. But there's no person with a will. And there, in that way, there is no God's will.
That's a lot, it's becoming a lot clearer in Tao Te Ching.
In the Tao Te Ching. And as you go on through the other MPP courses that you're on, it's going to become clearer and clearer and clearer. And this is why, you know, some people, I think the Buddhists especially, have the reputation of saying there is no God. They're referring to this concept of God that we have. There is no God. And that's a fact.
That's if what I feel like. I'm just trapped. Like, I'm not trapped, but I just constantly have to, like, reiterate that to people for some reason.
That there is no God.
I just feel like it's so detrimental to the truth.
Yeah.
It's not really my place to point that out.
Well, and of course, if you're talking to most people, you know, in our culture, saying there is no God sounds blasphemous. It sounds like you're an atheist,
right.
But that's not what we mean. You know, we're not atheists at all. But what we mean is this concept that we've imagined and that we've said is God, that does not exist. Now, there is something very real. You could call it a spiritual law. You could call it a process. You can call it happeningness. And, you know, one way that the Buddhists put it is they say everything makes everything. They call it something like a codependent arising. Well, I don't know if codependent is right, but it's interdependent co-arising. That's it. Interdependent co-arising, which means everything is related to everything else, and everything that happens works together to make the next happening. It's the same teaching, for those of you who know my teaching, it's the same teaching as the code.
Yeah.
Right? It's the exact same teaching as the code. So, because of this, that all there is happeningness, there is no God person that we could have betrayed. You know, there's no God that wishes we'd done this and instead we horrible people did that. Like, that doesn't exist. It's just completely made up in our heads. What we are is that process that is all things that also can be called God, if you want to call it God. We are it. And we are so integrally connected to everything else that we can't actually make ourselves be different in the moment than we are. And this is why things like willingness is much more powerful than people realize. Like, you know, how people will say to me all the time, well, how do I let go of, name it. I'll say anger, because you're here, okay? So it's what's coming to my mind. But it could be anything, right? But how do I let go of getting angry? How do I do that? You give willingness. You give willingness not to be angry anymore. And it doesn't sound like enough. It sounds like you should have to do more. But the truth is that willingness feeds into the happeningness. And what feeds into the happeningness makes something. So if you feed enough willingness into the happeningness not to be angry anymore, you just keep doing that, then eventually what starts to happen is you start noticing one day, wow, I didn't get angry at that. You know, you don't even know why. But it's because you aren't a person. You're a part of a process. And that process, you could say, is intake and outtake. That process is receiving and giving, right? And the giving feeds the receiving, and the receiving feeds the giving. And when you're giving willingness, you're doing giving that's going to result at some point in a receiving, which would be a different way of seeing, right? So, this idea that you're guilty because you've abused your truth, you separated yourself from God and created pain in the heart of God, that's every aspect of that idea is baloney. First of all, you're not separate from the process. It's impossible for you to be separate from the process. And there is no God for you to have abused and created pain in. You know, so the whole thing is silly. So I'm going to start at the top again, but this time I'm going to continue reading further. It is time for a reminder of that which you are tempted to forget. It is time to look on love and remember clearly that you look on the truth of you. Do not doubt your truth. It is within you. It is you. You feel guilty because you believe you have abused your truth. You believe you have used your truth to separate yourself and to create pain in the heart of God. There is no pain in the heart of God. There is only the illusion of pain within your mind when you look away from the truth of what you are. It is time that you remember, so the illusion of pain may stop and your joy may be released, just as blue sky is revealed by the parting of clouds. You are everything. This is not a sentence. This is not even a thought. This is the fact of the truth of you. Look up and remember, you are everything. Everything that you see, everything that you seem to know, everything you could possibly be aware of is within the mind that is you. Every tiny aspect, without exception, is you. Take a moment to take in the majesty of this realization. You are everything. I was talking to Jacqueline about this at dinner last night. I didn't realize, you know, that today we would be studying it in Philemon. But so I just gave this speech yesterday. But you know, usually when people look around, you know, I see a book, I see sneakers, I see legs, I see a head, I see glasses, I see earrings, I see a chair, I see a purse, you know. I mean, there are just so many separate things that I say that I see, right? But in order to understand, or at least begin to understand, you really need to look differently, just like you're changing the focus of a camera. And instead of being focused in on the apparent somethings, you need to be focused on what is seen, the apparent somethings. Okay, so it is literally your awareness. It's not even your mind, your thinking mind that sees. Your thinking mind can think about Priscilla's earrings, right? But it's not your thinking mind that knows that Priscilla's earrings are there. I mean, the senses are assisting, obviously. But what's really happening is when you turn your attention to her earrings, they are now in your awareness. A moment ago, they might not have been. You maybe didn't even notice them. But now, they're in your awareness. So what's really taking in those earrings is your awareness. Do you see that? Now, what is taking in everything? Just look around the room. What is it?
Awareness.
Your awareness. Okay? Now, if you focus on that awareness, there's going to be a shift that's going to happen. And what you're going to see is instead of things, different things being out there, there's this one thing called awareness. And everything is in it. And it's also a part of it. You can't separate it. Like, try and separate anything here from your awareness. In fact, if you really focus on your awareness enough, you're going to realize everything is within your awareness.
I was realizing that kind of last night. I was in bed. And I couldn't sleep. I was just laying there. And I could almost like, I was aware that my awareness was different than my body.
Yeah.
I was looking on my body. There was an awareness there.
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of.
Yeah. At some point, the sense of out there actually begins to die. Because everything is within your awareness. So you can't really separate into inside and outside. Like usually when we separate into inside and outside, it's inside my body and outside my body. But you know, I don't have a pain in my stomach, but if I had a pain in my stomach right now, it would be in the exact same awareness as that chair over there. And as that breeze that I'm feeling from the fan. There's no difference between inside and outside. Everything is in that awareness. Right?
I feel like somehow that ties into like how quantum physics kind of explains how nothing is actually there until something
observes it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and of course we all know the old philosophical statement: if a tree falls in the woods, there's nobody there to hear it. Does it make a noise?
Yeah.
You know. Now, what also happens again because we think of ourselves as individual people, you know, we think like, I have an awareness. And then when you hear the scientific idea that in order for something to exist, there has to be awareness first. And you think, yeah, but you know, China still exists even though I'm not aware of it right now, you know.
Somebody's aware.
And that awareness is only one. You see, that, you know, if we're going to use the, if we can go back to the word God for a moment, because we've got to have a word. That God awareness is looking through every apparent individual. It's one. And so everything that awareness is aware of appears to exist.
Just because I don't know I'm aware of China right now.
Yeah.
I'm still a part of that.
But awareness is aware of China right now. Right? So everything that awareness is aware of appears to exist. Anything that is not within awareness isn't. Right? So there's only one awareness, It seems to shine through many of us, but there's only one awareness, and everything is within it. Everything that appears to be is within awareness. Not only that, we can even take this one step further. I think most of you know, maybe I don't know if Wayne does because he hasn't been around as long. Do you know about my experience of being an apple?
Yeah.
Okay. So when I shifted, my awareness, and I can't really use that word, my awareness, it's not a true word, but the awareness shifted into the apple, and I was not at all human, not in any way, shape, or form, there was still awareness. Even the apple had awareness, right? So not only is everything within awareness, and everything seems to be because of awareness, but everything is awareness. Awareness is all that is. So if what you actually are is awareness, and that's what this is saying, this is the truth of you, then you are everything. And the only reason you don't know it, let's see if I can get this to come back on. I need to touch my iPad a little more. Okay, the only reason you don't know it is because you think you're the mind. And so, you know, the primary goal, you could say, of a spiritual path is to shift away from thinking you're the body or the mind to realizing that you're the awareness. And when you really realize it, not intellectually, but there's an honest shift that occurs, then you know you're everything. That simultaneously happens. That's why we have teachers like Ramana Maharshi saying, all there is the self.
All there is
the self. Because the self is awareness and all there is awareness. Some people would say all there is consciousness. They use that word instead, you know, but that's all there is. Everything's in it. It is everything and it makes everything appear. I mean, it's it, right? It's the it. So this is telling you, you are everything. And it's saying, this is not a sentence. This isn't some little sentence that you're reading in a book. It's saying, this isn't even a thought. This truth is before thought. This truth is before mind. This is the fact of the truth of you. And then it says, look up and remember, you are everything. Everything that you see, everything that you seem to know, everything that you could possibly be aware of is within the mind that is you. And here the word mind is synonymous with the word awareness or the word consciousness. Mind is just another word that sometimes gets used. Every tiny aspect, without exception, is you. Take a moment to take in the majesty of this realization. You are everything. Some of us are learning to play golf. I'm learning to play golf. Francine is learning to play golf. And, you know, I'm not great at golf yet. I'm learning to be more consistent. But I've noticed that there is one thing that throws me off every time. And that's if I'm trying to focus on the ball and focus on getting my everything right, you know, the way my body's supposed to be and all that, and a bug happens to crawl by, I immediately get distracted by the bug. And the reason I immediately get distracted by the bug is somewhere in me, and again, if you know me, you know this is true, somewhere in me that connection that the bug is awareness and I am awareness, that the bug is the same as me, is there. And so when I see the bug crawl by, it's like, ah, you know, it's, for lack of better words, I'm going to call it a friend, but there's not this sense of separation. It's awareness becoming aware of an awareness. Awareness becoming aware of awareness. And so I get totally distracted, and, you know, I certainly can't hit the ball when a bug lands on it. Then that really gets in my way. But what happens as we become more and more aware of awareness, not only as what we are, but what everything is, that's when everything becomes a little more awe-inspiring. You know, everything becomes more beautiful. Everything becomes more joyful. There's a feeling of connection. There's a feeling of sameness that occurs. And when you have that feeling of connection and you have that feeling of sameness, what you cannot at the exact same moment also have is what appears to be a personal will. It's impossible. And you could in the next minute, next second, shift back to a personal will. But when you shift back to a personal will, that sense of connection that you have with the bug is going to be lost. Then you're a person and it's a bug. Right? So the awareness that you are everything, and really focusing on the idea that you are awareness, everything is within awareness, and even the idea that everything is awareness, what that helps to do as you focus on that is it actually helps shift you away from the idea that you're a person with a personal will. And you start noticing the happeningness of everything, not only the happeningness of other things, but the happeningness of you. You start noticing everything is happening. You start noticing the process that is all things, and you start noticing that you're an integral part of that process, and you can't separate yourself out of it. Most people begin to notice it by what they call synchronicities. All these little synchronicities. They were in the right place at the right time, said the right thing at the right time, made their own right phone call at the right time. And those synchronicities start pointing out this connection of all things that is way beyond the mind's belief in separation. So, again, you are everything. Feel the meaning of these words beyond your thinking mind. Feel the majesty and glory. See the innocence of every thought within the realization of this one truth. You are everything. Now again, it's saying contemplate this, not with thinking, but contemplate this with your beingness beyond the thinking mind. Because the thinking mind not only can't understand it, but the thinking mind doesn't believe in it. The thinking mind believes in, you know, separation. So there's another part of you, which I often call intuition. You can kind of just be with this idea and contemplate this idea by being with it rather than by thinking about it. And it's saying that if you be with this idea long enough, then that even your thoughts, when your thoughts start to arise, you're going to notice that your thoughts are also just a part of this happeningness. You know, a thought just shows up. You know, just like everything is making everything, that includes the thoughts too. You're not a personal person with a personal mind and personal thoughts that you shouldn't be thinking. Thoughts are happening. And as you get more and more aware of the process, you see the thoughts happening, but you don't give them meaning anymore because they're just happening. And that makes all the difference in the world if you aren't giving your thoughts meaning.
I bet.
Yeah, it makes all the difference. They can still be there, you know, but they have no more apparent impact anymore, right? And that's why it's called see the innocence of every thought within the realization of this one truth. You are everything, and everything is also just happening. And if you are everything, there is nothing that must not be you. And if there is nothing that is not you, there is nothing that is not an expression of your desire. And if there is nothing that is not an expression of your desire, then everything that is given must be given to you, by you, as love. Now there's another sentence that came through me that is not in NTI, interestingly. It came through in a personal message, but many people have become familiar with it and quoted it. Let me have a drink and then I'll tell you what it is. That sentence is, love is giving through spirit to spirit that which spirit requests. And Wayne's going to write that down, so we'll say that again. Love is giving through spirit to spirit that which spirit requests. Now I've been using the word awareness. I said some people use the word consciousness, some people use the word God. Another word that's used to describe the same thing, but this not saying non-thing thing, is spirit. So spirit would be synonymous with awareness or consciousness. And you'll notice that in that definition, it doesn't say, you know, giving to Wayne through Francine that which Regina requested. It's giving to spirit, through spirit, that which spirit requests. So it's pointing out the oneness of everything, right? You could say giving to awareness, through awareness, that which awareness requests. So what happens in this world, you know, many of us, if not all of us, Even though we're on this spiritual path and we're trying to awaken from the belief in separation, we actually still want to see ourselves as separate. And we know that because the vast majority of our thinking is separation thinking. The vast majority of our thinking is about him or her as separate from me, and you know, maybe I'm the victim or maybe I'm the victimizer. It doesn't really matter. But that's where our thoughts are. And not only that, we think a lot of those thoughts with a lot of passion. Right? There's a lot of passion about our stories in our mind. So if you think about that passionate thinking as a request, you know, it's like you're sending out a message within spirit saying, please help me to continue to believe I'm separate. Right? Or please help me to continue to believe I'm victim. Or please help me to continue to believe I'm victimizer. Or, you know, just whatever your mind is focused on. Please continue to teach me this is a fearful world. And so then that goes out into the happeningness. And guess what the happeningness brings back? What you ask for. You see, that's love. That's love. It, the world cannot deliver to you anything else. Now, you know, some people misunderstand this, misinterpret it a little bit by getting too specific. You know, like if you have cancer, you know, they might say, you must have asked for that cancer. It's not like that. But you maybe asked for the belief that you're a body. You know, a lot of focus on the body.
It's hard to explain that to people.
Yeah.
You try to explain something spiritual and they're like, well, why would someone ask for this or that?
Yeah, you know, but they're not asking for cancer, although some people do. I've actually seen it happen very specifically. I've seen people say things like, boy, if I had cancer, maybe they'd pay attention to me then. And so they don't realize what they're saying, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so sometimes people do. But usually people don't do it specifically. It's more generally by always focusing on the body, always focusing on what I'm eating, on my, blah, blah, you know, and just all that focus on the body. What you're really saying is, teach me I'm a body. But what does cancer do? I mean, you know, it's... Yeah, and doesn't it teach you maybe that you're a body unless you're choosing to see it differently? I mean, that's basically what cancer kind of does, is it seems to convince, I mean, you're starting to feel worse and worse, and, you know, there's pain here that didn't used to be there, and your energy level is dropping, and you have to go get chemo all the time, and you're throwing up, and you know, it's pretty clear message, you're a body. Yeah, so it's love. It's love teaching you what you wanted to be taught. So again, what this is saying is, if you are everything, there is nothing that must not be you. And if there is nothing that is not you, there is nothing that is not an expression of your desire. And if there is nothing that is not an expression of your desire, then everything that is given must be given to you, by you, as love. Spirit, love is spirit giving to spirit through spirit that which spirit requests. Verses 8 to 11. Look on the world and do not fear it, for it is your friend. The world is showing you that which you desire in the recesses of your mind. This is important because you are not always aware of what you ask. And so you do not always trust that it is your gift that you receive. Look on the world. It is useful to show you what you ask. So what this is asking us to do, again, it's asking us to change our focus. You know, when we look out on the world and we see, you know, if we have the perspective of seeing all those stupid idiots out there, you know, or we have the perspective of seeing all these suffering people out there, or we have the perspective of seeing all these people in power that's taking advantage of all the little people out there, or, you know, whatever it is that we see. The way that we see is showing us what's in our mind that we are requesting. So what you have to do is you need to look back at your own mind and start saying, how do I request to see all of these fearful things? Or how do I request to see all these victimizers? Or how do I request to see all these victims? Or, you know, what's going on in my thought process that's requesting this perception? And you also have to ask yourself, is that what I want to request? Again, we're back to, what do you truly want? Do you want to walk around? And again, you know, we do it in such innocent ways. I mean, you know, I remember, you know, it wasn't that long ago, a year ago, 2 years ago, I don't know how long ago, but it's been since I lived in Pueblo, when I caught myself playing the victim as mama. Like, you know, like we all go out hiking, we come back, we're all tired. You know, people put down, you know, the stuff that has to be unpacked, and they all run off to their rooms and relax and leave mama there to unpack when she was hiking all day too, right? But I started noticing I felt like a victim. I felt like the victim is mama. And I had to look at that and say, wait a minute. Do I want to be the victim? Do I want to learn that I'm the victim? Is this how I want to think, you know? And so then I had to change my thinking. I don't feel like the victim at all anymore. And in fact, I was going to cook shepherd's pie for dinner tonight, and Danielle did it. I didn't even have to do it. Last night I went out with Jacqueline, because, you know, she's leaving soon, and Jacqueline said, I was just going to go out with her for a drink. That was my thought. But then she said, we should get a burger too. I thought, that means I won't go home and cook dinner. Fine. Girls, I'm not coming home. You have to find your own dinner. You know, I was no longer the victim that had to give up, you know, being with my friend and go home and cook dinner, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, we have to change the way that we are thinking. And again, you don't change the way you're thinking by force. It never works to force. You change the way you're thinking by remembering what you really want. You know, you have to ask, do I want to teach myself I'm victim? Do I want to teach myself I'm victimizer? Do I want to teach myself that everything is fearful? Do I want to teach myself that I'm bad? Do I want to teach myself that I'm guilty? And then you also have to notice how you are doing that. And realize that, sure, there's proof. Heck yeah, there's proof of everything you believe, but why? Because that's what the world does. That's what love does. It gives you proof of whatever you've been saying with your thinking that you want to see. So you can't get stuck on the proof. You know, like if I think I'm a really unworthy person, I spend a lot of time thinking about my unworth, and then, you know, Wayne shows up and tells me how stupid I am, and you know, you show up and tell me, you know, gosh, I look tired all the time, I should look better, and you show up and say, wow, are you gaining weight? You know, all of that is happening, you know, and it's hitting me the way it's hitting me, because I'm saying, teach me I'm unworthy. Teach me I'm unworthy. I need to take that responsibility. And I need to instead start giving willingness. See, when you give willingness, you're doing something different. Again, remember Einstein said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting different results. If you want different results, you have to do something different. There's a helicopter flying through the parking lot, it sounds like. He is, he's right. Oh no, that's the reflection of the fan. So he is, he's right there. But I'm seeing the fan on the window. But he was very low, huh?
He's very low.
Yeah. He's very low. Oh, he looks like he's landing at the hospital. The hospital's only two blocks away. So he's landing at the hospital. It's probably an emergency helicopter. So again, I have to teach myself, what do I want? What do I want? If I want to realize my innocence, then when I see my mind is starting to think about, you know, how guilty I am or how bad I am, at least for me, the first thing I do is say, do I want to teach myself this? Is this what I want? Right? What do I really want? And then the next step for me is I give my willingness to see that I am not guilty. Because you don't want, I mean, if you believe it, you believe it.
That's right.
I mean, but the thing that you're doing differently is, instead of focusing on those believing thoughts, you focus on what you truly want and your willingness. Mm-hmm. And you see, it's different. It's different. Here's me thinking I'm a lousy person. That's one energy. Here's me seeing that I believe I'm a lousy person, but I give my willingness to see that that's not true. I give my willingness to see myself in the way, you know, God sees me, if you still have to use that symbol, right? Mm-hmm. In the way I really am. And that is doing something different. And because everything is a happeningness and everything affects everything, that shift affects something. And as you continue to be consistent about that shift, now it doesn't help that much if you only do it once and then go right back to thinking about what a loser you are, right? You need to be kind of consistent with it. But if you continually feed that willingness instead of your I'll call it negative thinking right now, instead of your negative thinking into that, that eventually results in a shift where suddenly you don't even know why. You just notice you just made a mistake, like you've made a mistake 1,000 times before, but you don't feel guilty for it this time. This time you just see it as a mistake. And you can't explain why you don't feel guilty. You always felt guilty before, but you don't. And that's because of how the happeningness works. And because you changed your energy, right? And even if somebody does come up and tell you that you're stupid or that you look tired or that you've gained weight, you're noticing it doesn't hit you. It just doesn't hit you like it used to, you know? And chances are those types of comments are going to start falling away as well. So you are everything, and everything is you. And again, it's not that the person controls the world, it's that we're this interconnected process. That's what we are. We are a process, and everything is a part of that process. And so you want to think about, what am I feeding into the process? You know, what am I feeding into the process? And you want to try and feed into the process that which you truly want, to in whatever way is honest for you. Right? You have to be authentic. It doesn't help not to be authentic. But that's why willingness can be a very authentic step. You know, I believe I'm guilty, or I believe I'm bad, or I believe I'm a victimizer, but I'm willing to see myself differently. That's a change. Yeah. So again, verses 8 to 11. Look on the world and do not fear it, for it is your friend. The world is showing you that which you desire in the recesses of your mind. It means that which you're thinking about and focusing on without noticing. This is important because you are not always aware of what you ask, or you're not always paying attention to where your mind wandering is. And so you do not always trust that it is your gift that you receive. Look on the world. It is useful to show you what you ask. What is shown to you is given to you through the love that you are. Look on it in a new way. Look on it in gratitude for the truth of what you are. As you give gratitude for this gift of love, you shall know its love. As you know its love is all you shall see. So this is a very literal statement. So this is saying, you know, if I think all the time what an idiot I am, I'm such an idiot, I can't ever do anything right, blah, 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 blah. And then somebody comes up to me and says, you know, you're really stupid. And I feel that pain. If I'm really aware of all this, I'm going to say, oh, thank you so much for that. I mean, I would say it to the person, but to myself, thank you so much for that. That just woke me up. I wasn't even noticing how much I'm thinking that. But now that I feel that, I see, and I needed to see that, you know? So thank you for making me aware, because without awareness, I can't heal, I can't change, right? So this is saying be thankful for it, everything. And again, you guys know that that's our prayer at dinner every night, right? Be thankful for everything, because everything is here to help you heal. It has no other purpose whatsoever. And so some of it, sure, it hurts sometimes. You say, oh, I wasn't aware. Gosh, it's good to be aware now. I'm happy to see. And, you know, every thought that has ever been uncovered for me, once it was uncovered, I could, like, suddenly see how I was thinking it all the time, and I just never saw it before. It's amazing. You know, like, I remember one day a thought became uncovered, that just this thought that, you know, it's kind of the basic thought is like, oh, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be here. I don't want to. But the way it came up one day really strong in me was, oh, this is hell. And I went, oh. This is hell. And then I started thinking, yeah, when I go to, I don't want to do dishes, you know, and that, what am I telling myself all the time? I'm telling myself this is hell. So how am I experiencing a lot of my life? As if it's hell. Is that how I want to experience my life? Maybe I should quit telling myself all the time in whatever language I'm doing it that this is hell. You know, and I was happy to see that, but I could see, the instant I saw it, I could see, oh, I do that all the time. All the time, you know? No wonder I'm not perfectly happy. I'm always telling myself I'm in hell. Not in those words, but that's what I'm telling myself. I don't want to do this. I don't, you know, I wish I didn't have to do that. Oh, why do I have to get up again, you know? Yeah. So, verses 12 to 16 again. What is shown to you is given to you through the love that you are. Look on it in a new way. Look on it in gratitude for the truth of what you are. As you give gratitude for this gift of love, you shall know its love. As you know its love is all you shall see. Lift your eyes in truth and see the glory of all that you are. Anything that is not love in your sight is an error. To see the love before you, let go of your error. It is blinding you to the truth that sets you free. So, you know, if Jasmine gets really mad at me, which actually she is right now, she hasn't spoken to me hardly in days. If Jasmine gets really, really mad at me, if I blame Jasmine, you know, and pick out some story about why, you know, how bad she, I don't have a story because I don't do that, so I can't think of one. But if I blame Jasmine in some way and say this is her fault and she shouldn't be this way with me and blah, 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 right? I am blind to the love that is present. I'm blind. You know? And the reason Jasmine is mad at me, from what she says, is she said that I always put myself down when I'm golfing. I didn't notice that because when I golf, I feel happy inside. And at first I was a little confused by the fact that she was mad at me. And maybe I'm still a little confused. I don't know why she'd be mad at me, but still, I was a little confused. But then I went golfing with Jacqueline on Monday, and I noticed that when I hit the ball, if I topped it, I went, ooh, I topped that. And I noticed, you know, if I did something else, I'd say, ooh, I did that. Now, I wasn't actually feeling sadness. I was just commenting. But I realized, oh, look at all this commenting that is happening. And then I realized, look at all this judgment that is happening. Look how I'm believing that I just did this wrong, that wasn't exactly the way it was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And I realized she's right. She's pointing out to me that during golf, I'm allowing judgment back in. Now, her behavior is a little exaggerated, but guess what that exaggeration did? It brought it to my attention. I wouldn't have seen it without her exaggerated anger, you know? That's what this is saying. Everything is a gift. Everything is a gift. You know, if you'll pardon the expression, because I don't mean in a guilty way, but you are doing something wrong if you don't see everything with the right mind. And you want to find that something you're doing wrong so that you can correct it. Does that make sense? Yeah. So anything that is not love in your sight is an error. To see the love before you, let go of your error. It is blinding you to the truth that sets you free. I am restored to you in your remembrance of me. Lift up your eyes and look. Sounds like the helicopter is leaving now. In your remembrance, I am all that you see. All that you see is spirit. I have another friend who, a few weeks ago, she's been really bothered lately because her son is an addict, a drug addict. I'm not sure what type, but he's an addict. And you know, I don't know the details, but not doing well. You know, and she's afraid that he's going to die, you know, which is not what a mother wants. So she has been really, 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 really upset about this. And nearly every time she talks, it's what comes out of her mouth because it's all that she's thinking about, right? And her husband told her something like, I don't remember his exact words, but the idea was he was telling her that she was so obsessed with this that she was going to die from it before her son did. And she got offended, you know, like, I can't believe he said that to me. And, you know, I told her, I said, wow. I said, you know, I said, I heard that completely differently. I said, I heard Spirit speaking to you through him. Spirit is telling you, right, that you really need to let go of this, that this is not healthy to be thinking about it so much. Yeah. And see, so what the only difference between the way she heard her husband and she was offended and the way I heard her husband was that I was listening with a non-personal right mind, and I heard guidance. I heard guidance. And you know what? She did have a medical issue come up this week as a result of stress. She passed out or fell down or something on her porch and was injured, and now she's on medication, and you know, and the doctor agrees that it was probably due to stress. So see her husband's warning 3 weeks ago? Even if he seemed to have an attitude, I don't know if he did, she never said, but let's say he said it in kind of a nasty way. If you hear everything with the right mind, you hear guidance. That's all you hear from anyone. That's all you hear. You know, Jasmine's getting, she yelled at me on the golf course. Yelled at me, you know. I didn't hear it for 2 or 3 days. I didn't hear it immediately. I was actually immediately offended, to be honest, because it was such a shock. But I came to hear, that's right, that's guidance. You know, it's like I'm learning not to judge in the everyday world, but suddenly in the game of golf, I'm allowed to judge.
Pretty hard not to.
But, you know, I need to let go of judgment in golf too, right? Mm-hmm. Or else guess what's going to happen? Judgment's going to seep back into my life. It's going to start seeping back in. So it was guidance, you know. And so that's what this is saying. If you learn to really see everything as you, everything as awareness, everything as interconnected, nothing cannot happen to you that in some way you aren't asking for. And then you start saying, why did that happen? How, you know, not with your intellectual mind, but just like the reason I didn't notice Jasmine's message for 3 days. Well, first of all, I did get hurt. It was the first time, you know, I've been upset in a while, in several months. I did get hurt. So first I had to let go of my own hurt because that was in the way. But then even when I let go of the hurt, I didn't understand the message. I didn't understand it. And you don't understand it, you don't think about it. You just give willingness to see it. And then what happened spontaneously when I was golfing with Jacqueline, I heard myself say, oh, I topped that. And I went, oh, I see. And, you know, I can't remember what else I said. I said more than that. That's the only one I remember now. But, you know, I was commenting on my game. And I realized, ah, look at this. You know, there's judgment here in my game. I'm saying that ball should have gone further than it did. You know, and I'm doing all of these things during the game. And so it was 3 or 4 days later before I saw the guidance. So you don't want to think. What does this mean? You don't want to get into analysis. You want to give willingness. And maybe you are hurt by what somebody says. You want to let go of the hurt first. You want to give willingness to see what this means. And you want to have patience until the realization comes. But you even want that to come as a gift. Don't involve that analyzing thinking mind. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anything that is not love is a sight in your sight is an error. To see the love before you, let go of your error. It is blinding you to the truth that sets you free. I am restored to you in your remembrance of me. Lift up your eyes and look. In your remembrance, I am all that you see. Even when your daughter's yelling at you on the golf course, there's only spirit there. Because it's spirit giving to spirit through spirit, that which spirit requests, right? Your spirit is all that you are. And all that you are is within all that you see. Amen. And that is the end of Philemon. And actually, even though it was very short, we spent a lot of time on it. So we won't begin Hebrews tonight. We will begin Hebrews next week, which is a great book. A little longer than these little short books I've been on, but it's a great book. So we need an assignment for the week. And if this feels right to you, I would say that the assignment is to remind yourself over and over again, whether you can remember the exact words or just the idea, that love is giving through spirit to spirit that which spirit requests, and therefore everything that happens within your awareness over the next week, in some way you're asking for it. Just remember that. You don't even have to figure out how you're asking for it. If you see how, great. But remember, that's what's happening here. That's all that's happening here. If it's in my awareness, in some way I'm asking to see this, in some way I'm asking to experience this, again, don't think about it. Anything that you need to see in this week will come up in this week. But what you are trying to do is shift your way of thinking. Instead of thinking of, ah, that's him, he's separate from me, he shouldn't have said that, right? You want to say, ah, he said that. That means in some way I'm asking for this to be said. I'm asking to see it in the way I saw it. And just open to that acceptance. You don't need to do anything else. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I will stop the recorder and we'll do a little bit of silence.